League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Cutforth.
Hello!
Live in London at Jamboree! This week, we're talking about chimp children and simian siblings.
Ooh. Now you're getting a live experience of my experience, which is I never know what the subject is. So what was that? Chimp children and what now what?
And simian siblings.
Simian siblings.
Simian siblings. And I've got a question for everyone. I usually ask a question at the start of these. Does anyone here have siblings? Woo! You've got a sibling?
Big cheer for siblings, guys.
Woo! Is anyone here with their siblings?
Yes!
Yeah, okay, great. And we want to thank our patrons as well, by the way, because we couldn't do this without the patrons. Anyone a patron here? Any patrons in the house? Woo! Yeah, a little round of applause for our patrons, I think. Yeah, thank you! Bloody hell. Whoa. It's very difficult doing this show in front of lots of people. Usually I edit a lot of things out. I'm gonna be working hard on this one. Okay, shall we start the actual show now?
I think so.
Like I said, today we're talking about simian siblings and chimp children. What does that mean? Well, I wanted to talk about this because our patrons have, you know, they vote for topics, they submit topics, and someone said we should do the ape and the child experiment. Have you heard of the ape and the child experiment, Luke?
It sounds like you, like, take a human child from somebody, and then you take a chimp child and, like, you raise them exactly the same. Like, you put them in school and you try and teach them things, and then you see what the difference between the two children is.
Luke, I think you'd be a really good evil scientist. Because that is literally, that's almost exactly what we're talking about.
Brilliant. Love it.
Yeah, so no, we're talking about the ape and the child experiment. It was this experiment that was done ages ago, back in the 1930s, when you were allowed to do really evil science. Yeah, no, a lot of our episodes come from evil scientists, so I thought we'd delve into that history for this week's episode. So we're talking about Winthrop Niles Kellogg. Notice I pronounced the name. Yeah, no, not that one.
Okay.
Not that one.
Because there is some weird stuff about the Kellogg guy, isn't there?
Look, I have in my notes here, mention Kellogg's cornflakes invention, and I think that's what you're hitting at.
Yeah.
Do you remember the story?
I do not remember the story. Please,
here we go.
In.
I'm closing the laptop. I don't need it for this one. So Kellogg's, I don't know his first name, but Kellogg, the guy that made Kellogg's cornflakes, he had a real issue with teenagers because teenagers were doing what they do. They were having sex. They were doing it so much, and he hated it. So he thought, what can I do to stop that? And he made cornflakes. I'm not even joking. Like, literally, cornflakes were invented to stop teenagers from having sex.
Hornflakes. Sorry.
No.
Just came out.
Quite literally the opposite. Yeah, no, so he invented those. The idea was, essentially, that they're so dull and boring that teenagers would, like, their sex drive would just drop. And they've actually tried the same thing with Sci Guys, and...
And Corey's sex drive has disappeared.
So, shall we get back into the actual story?
Please.
Okay, so Winthrop Niles Kellogg, he was born in 1898, Mount Vernon, New York. He died in 1972, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So he spent 40 of the 74 years that he was alive essentially just researching, like a lot of scientists do. And he published over 150 papers. He had two books that we're going to be covering one of those today. They're very interesting books. One of those books was called The Ape and the Child, which you know that. The other book was called Porpoises and Sonar. And I feel like we
and
should...
why are we not talking about that book?
Because, let's do a little Sci Guys history. Why might we not be talking about, porpoises or dolphin-like animals?
I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is that story about that woman who had, like, a sexual relationship with a dolphin.
Yeah.
Is that why?
What
do you mean, whoa? What?
Some dolphin lovers in the house. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Give them a round of applause for the dolphin.
Dolphin lovers or dolphin lovers?
I'm not gonna lie, I am really enjoying that I can just say give a round of applause and people will do that. You usually don't have that kind of power in any situation. Give a round of applause.
Corey is always asking me to applaud him, and I never do.
Never does. Anyway, so Kellogg, he did some experiments, as I said. The porpoises and the sonar, we're not covering that because we've already done having sex with a dolphin.
Excuse me?
Not personally. On
that
the show, we've
the
covered
patrons.
It.
It was a patron
that
episode.
That was just for the patrons? Oh, that was our pilot episode. Anyway, so if you've not heard that, go join our Patreon, I guess. Anyway, so we've covered that. So I thought we'd cover the ape and the child. He studied at Cornell University in 1916, left after a year to join the Great War, which makes a little sense, right?
The first war.
What?
The First World War.
No, you said the First War. There were many wars before that. A couple, at least. No, so he left university, and I assume that he left before he started the ethics portion of the study, because this study gets dark, and I'm going to be honest. Look, I was looking for a really happy, fun story for today. There was not one. I thought this was fun. I was like, raising a chimp and a kid together? That's like a sitcom. What can go wrong? A lot can go wrong. So I guess the first question is, why did he do it?
Well, I imagine because he wanted to... So in science, you want to control for variables. And if you're trying to find out what the difference between like chimp development and human development is, you want to control every single possible variable. So you put chimp baby and human baby in every single possible situation. And the only variable you're changing is whether it's a chimp or a human. Yes?
I mean...
Am I wrong?
Not entirely.
Okay.
But you're not entirely right either. Okay. So the reason that he
That's
wanted
common.
To do No, the reason that he wanted to do this experiment was more based on wild children. Do you know what wild children are?
What?
Do you know what a wild child is?
Like the wild Thornberrys.
Okay, do you know Donnie from the Wild Thornberrys? This is such a deep cut.
Do you know Donnie from
Does
the
anyone
Wild
know,
Thornberrys?
Yeah, cheer if you know Donnie. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
A round of applause for the Wild Thornberrys, guys. Doesn't get the appreciation it deserves.
So it's this little kid that's like, he just wears shorts. He goes, ah, blah, 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 you know, like the Tasmanian devil, but a boy.
Yeah.
But a young, like a little boy.
Yeah.
Basically a wild child. This has gone so off the rails already.
Side note, can I just ask you if you've seen that Netflix show about Zac Efron fingering the Tasmanian devil? Big cheer for Zac Efron.
No.
So there's a Netflix show where they get Zac Efron to do like weird stuff, and one of the things he has to do is check if a Tasmanian devil is pregnant. And I'm pretty certain, if my memory doesn't disappoint me, that someone's fingering a Tasmanian devil. Whether it's Zac Efron or not, maybe I've clickbaited here, but someone is. Anyway,
I really hope that did actually happen, in the sense that if you've just made that up in your head, that says a lot about you. Luke watches a lovely documentary about Zac Efron and comes away thinking, could have fingered more Tasmanian devils. Could have done it.
That's what I thought when I watched High School Musical.
Scrap the Bechdel test. Luke's only rating for a film is how many Tasmanian devils have been fingered.
Every film has failed until this Zac Efron show.
Yeah, honestly, The Drowning of Arthur Braxton was really good until you cut all the Tasmanian devil fingering scenes.
Hey, man, I needed to be a 12. BBFC don't allow that.
Anyway, what was I talking about? Wild children. So, wild children, what are they? You don't know. I'm going to answer this myself. A wild child is a kid that was raised by animals that are not humans. Right? So, like, they go off into the wild. They're raised by wolves or like Mowgli.
Sorry, I have a really funny tangent that my wife is going to hate me for. So, my wife is currently... Can I say this or are you under an NDA? Okay, doesn't matter. You don't get that story, I'm sorry. But I'll just leave you to imagine the rest of that story.
Do you want to give another story?
No. That was the best story I had, man. That's it. I'm out. See you later.
Just sit in silence for the next for the next hour or so. No, okay.
Until my wife's NDA lapses.
How long is that?
About a year.
Okay, so let's just all wait here till next year and we'll be good. Until then, we could talk about wild children. A wild child is someone like Mowgli or Donnie or I guess Tarzan.
Yeah.
But he's quite cultured. You know, someone that was raised by animals like wolves or apes or whatever, right? Mm. So he was interested in wild children. Kellogg wanted to know more about them because he found it really interesting how a child could go off, be raised by wolves, not have the same sort of language acquisition that you get as being raised by people, because generally wolves don't speak English. So Or any language, actually. Sorry, not to shit on any other language. Generally, wolves don't speak human languages.
Sure.
That's a general rule. Anything can happen in biology. That is not what I'm talking about. You've got people like all primed for like having sex with animals now with your fingering Tasmanian devils, man.
I would like you to rescind that accusation, thank you.
No. So he went and decided, right, I want to do studies on wild children, but you can't throw a kid into, you know, I guess to live with wolves in a forest. Generally, because people frown upon that.
Yes.
Yeah, like he would have gotten in trouble. You can't do it. There's no way to ethically...
This is the 1930s. Nothing was frowned upon.
They have limits. Throwing a kid literally to the wolves is...
Okay.
I don't know.
God, I'm glad there's a line.
I mean, if it's a white...
Going to war. That's not the line. Throwing one child to the wolves. Well, we found the line.
A white child. You can't throw a white child to the wolves. Back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Chuck a black child to the wolves? No problem. Just, I'm not saying that it's good. I'm just saying that you could if you wanted to.
In the past.
And some parts of the US. Anyway, I've not told this story on the podcast before. So I went on tour in the US. I've told you this story, right? I went to Nashville and I was in a bar. And you know, look, put it this way. I probably should have known that someone that looks like me, for listeners or people who have their eyes closed or people who can't see or whatever, I'm not white. I'm in fact black, if you're just finding this out.
Huh.
You don't see color, right? So I was in Nashville. I knew I probably should not have been in a country bar. That's literally the worst place for someone like me to be. But we were in a country bar. My friend was talking to a lovely older gentleman. And I thought, why don't I go and join that conversation? I walk up. And as I'm walking up, I hear this Nashvillean man saying, now, we don't mind them that much. It's not N-words that we mind. It's the queers. And I was like, okay. I'm just gonna, he hard-R'd, like fully said the word, I'm just gonna turn around and leave. And that was my experience of being in Nashville.
Last time I went to America for work, I got roofied. And again, you get no more of that story. We've got to get back to the science. Oh, and one of my best friends had to bathe me. Because I got roofied.
I'm picturing this as though one of your best friends roofied you so that they could... No, wait.
I mean, I don't know.
So, back to the science. He wanted to study wild children. He didn't want to chuck a child out in the wild to be raised by themselves. So he thought, what's the next best thing? Bring an animal child into your own home. So he found a little chimp.
I just feel like there are two variables. The first variable is that it's an animal child, and the second variable is that you're not a family of wolves.
What? Right, okay. I should maybe be a little bit clearer. The idea was he wanted to see if, if this was all nurture or if it was all nature, right? So he wanted to see if, you know, if you brought a chimp into your house and treated it as a little child, if it would grow up to be kind of like a human, you know? Yeah. Like a reverse Tarzan situation. Like, actually, literally a reverse Tarzan situation, right?
Yeah.
So... He reversed Tarzan a chimp, not just to get more information on wild children. He wanted to see if sort of language acquisition, knowledge, intelligence was, you know, based on the environment that you were in or whether it was down to genetics, right?
And this is what all those weird mums do on TikTok now with the dogs with the buttons.
No, don't get me started on that. Okay, right, get me started on that, right. I hate that so much. Everyone's like, oh, look at this, this dog that's able to speak. The dog can't speak. The dog can't. You've just trained the dog to press buttons. It doesn't know what it's saying.
Food now, ball. No. Ball, please, mom.
I mean, right. All of those buttons are based on things that a dog would want, right? Of course a dog is going to click ball now, because you've got a bunch of buttons. You could click any of those buttons and it would make sense. Why don't you put taxes on there and see how often the dog presses the taxes button?
To be fair, how often would you press the taxes button?
Once a year on January 30th. When I realize I need to do my taxes.
The Chancellor of the Exchequer's there like, want taxes now.
Don't name who the Chancellor of the Exchequer is, though, because last time we mentioned anyone in government, they changed before we got the episode out.
Yeah.
Also, don't mention any royalty either. That Queen Lizzie thing, really got us. We really got us. So back to the science, I guess. Should we? So... He wanted to study wild children. I'm going to say that sentence so many times. And he couldn't do that experiment ethically, so he brought a chimp in. And another element of this was eugenics. I know that that's a very not good thing, so we're going to just skim on over it. Just quickly cut past it. But no, the reason I mentioned eugenics is because he wanted to disprove eugenics. So the idea of eugenics is, you know, that people are controlled entirely by their genetics, and if you just stop, you know, undesirable people from breeding, you won't have undesirable people anymore. It's a horrible thing. It's very bad, and we shouldn't do it. Also, it doesn't work, scientifically speaking. We did a whole episode on it. You could go check that out. I was going to go click the link up here, but I don't think that's possible in real life. No, is that... Anyway, so he wanted to disprove eugenics. So he was like, okay, easiest way to do that is to get a chimp and train it to be a person, I guess, because that's what the 1930s was. So the actual experiment itself. So June 26th, 1931, a wonderful day of a wonderful year. That is when little Gua, the chimp,
He gave her the name.
She already had a name because she wasn't an orphan chimp or anything. She was raised in captivity and just taken from her mother.
This is like when people ask me why my cat's called Mouse. I'm like, I didn't call her Mouse. Don't blame me.
It's a dumb name for a cat. Not gonna lie.
I didn't call her Mouse. Don't blame me. See? You just saw it in action.
No, so... He got the chimp called Gua. She was about 7.5 months old, and he took her from, you know, her mother, she was raised in captivity, all of that sort of stuff, and he brought her to his home to live with his wife in Florida, which, if you've been to Florida, that is probably the worst thing that's happened to this chimp, just going there in general. So he brought the chimp home with him to raise with his son, Donald, who at that point was 10 months old. So the kid is a little bit older than the chimp at this point. His wife, for some reason, is fully in on this. She's like, yes, let's raise a chimp alongside our son. Usually when you see these experiments, it's like the man then left his wife and she divorced him and he got a new wife and she divorced him. Now, this woman was equally as crazy as this man. Which is refreshing. Women can be crazy too. Give a round of applause for women being crazy too. Yeah. Got to applaud anything. That was an objectively bad thing to applaud. So they brought her in. They dressed her like a normal child. That's the funny part.
Sure.
They dressed her like a normal child. I read something where they said they were hitting them on the heads with spoons. I don't know why. I think they were listening to see the sound that it made. My mind went to them trying to figure out how big the brains were. I don't think that's why they did it, but I literally have no other explanation. So they were hitting them on the head with spoons to see how big their brains were. There you go. True fact. Take that to the bank. So they were treating her like an actual kid. They were kissing her, lit on the head, giving her little hugs, put her in a high chair to eat, letting her eat with a spoon. They tried to toilet train her, which more or less worked. And they were doing this all alongside their own kid. And they only did it for 9 months. So it wasn't even a full year. So as I said, they were treating her like a normal person, despite the fact she was a furry little chimp. They taught her to walk upright, which chimps kind of do, but they look funny doing it.
And yeah, they look drunk.
Yeah, they do look drunk. And I swear to God, you can go and find this on YouTube. There's an entire film that they've made where they just record videos of all the little experiments that they did. They were like, they had them sitting in high chairs. They were talking to them, giving them spoons. There's lots of spoons in this story. I'm sorry. you were doing all that. So you can go and watch these videos. Like, it literally did happen. And you can actually find a full, like, silent movie on YouTube about this. It's wild. I would definitely recommend it. But let's move on. So they tried to treat the two kids. That sounds weird. They tried to treat the two children, I guess. Oh, this is not going to work. They tried to treat the chimp and the kid the same, right? They, like, were scolding them the same and all of that sort of stuff. They didn't want to treat them any differently. So they genuinely tried to treat this chimp like it was their little baby girl. And, oh yeah, look, literally, they tapped Donald and Gua's heads with spoons to hear the difference in the sound of their skulls. That's the reason, to hear the difference in the sound of their skulls. I don't have any further information.
Have you got a spoon we can borrow,
guys? Yeah, do we have a spoon?
We can tap our own heads and hear the difference, the sounds of our skulls.
Jesus Christ. Oh no. God, do you actually have a spoon?
Yes. Okay, so start with me.
Luke, put your head. Okay, here we go.
I'll put the mic next to my head. Oh. Try again, just hit.
That sounded like it hurt, I'm sorry.
Just go harder. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Did you?
Now it's Corey's turn.
I don't want to do this.
You've got such dense hair.
Okay. Thank you.
That'll do.
So Another awful thing that happened, and if you've got a bar of soap back there, we could try this too. Gua was eating soap, and so they decided to do what you would do with any child that eats soap, and just shove the entire bar into her mouth. I'm sorry, this is really dark. The little boy Donald didn't get out of this, like, didn't get off easy either. They would spin him around in a high chair until he started crying. I don't know why. Literally all it says, the cackle from the back. One person really hates kids, right? Everyone just point and shame this person right at the back. I don't know who you are. Boo-boo.
I'm just going to come in here and say, this sounds like more than one variable. Like, Luke? You've got donking on the head with spoons, you've got force feeding a bar of soap, you've got spinning them around in a high chair. These are not normal normal conditions.
Have you not been researching raising children, Luke? Because that's exactly what you're supposed to do.
This is week 35. I understand. Okay.
No, so yeah, I mean, look, there are lots of variables. I mean, this is one of those experiments where you look back on it and you think, what the hell was going on?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell was going on? What were they trying to, like, what were they genuinely trying to do? So, they were treating these kids, like, kind of terribly, to be honest. But, you know, they also ran little tests on them, these things called the Gesell tests, basically to see how advanced they were. It's tests that you were supposed to run on children at the time. I don't know if you still run it on kids.
Like SATs.
Oh, SATs.
Yeah.
No, because SATs are for, like, teenagers. These are for, like, little babies.
Okay.
I mean, maybe a baby could do
we
an SAT.
We did year two SATs.
So we're not talking about American SATs?
No. Because we're not American.
What?
And we're not in America.
I don't know that. Anyway, let's just move on from that here tangent. So they were testing these kids using these Gesell tests. And there were some really interesting results from this, right? You'd think that, I mean, well, first off, what do you think would happen when you're looking at a chimp being raised alongside a human boy? What would you expect to see?
Well, I'd expect to see them interact vaguely like babies would interact. Because a chimp is not too dissimilar to a person. We have similar sort of social, not social norms.
I mean, I pick your hair all the time. I pick little bugs out of it.
Yeah. But like that will be probably a learned behavior, like, or very possibly a learned behavior rather than an innate behavior. Or at least if it's like slightly innate, then it maybe only comes on by observing. Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. Yeah, I think that is true actually as well.
And so, yeah, I think you expect it, like how you see, like I saw a video recently of a dog that had been raised around rabbits and the dog thought it was a rabbit and it hopped around. So like I would expect to see this chimp behaving in some sort of normal human baby ways.
That genuinely is my favorite thing though. Sorry to interrupt you.
What,
that is
dogs
one of my
that hop
things.
Like bunnies?
No, just animals that were raised around other animals and so they act like those animals.
Yeah,
like when
great.
You've got a cat that's been raised as a dog, that's the weirdest thing. Also, like speaking of weird cats, this is a really awful transition. Anyway, I'm gonna go through with it. So they have a model for autism in dogs, right? You know that.
I do not know that. What do you mean? Why would I know that?
Is this not common knowledge?
Did someone just log into Windows XP? What's going on?
I thought it was like an achievement noise. Like, ding! New information.
Hey, if we're like 20 minutes into this episode and I've only just achieved new information, Corey, there's something wrong.
Well, if you didn't spend so much time talking about fingering Tasmanian devils, though, we could have moved farther. But no, so we have a model for autism in dogs. We don't have that for cats, because cats are just, like, there's no standard model for what a cat is supposed to be like. Cats are just really, really weird. So like you look at a bunch of cats and you try to be like, okay, well, what is a social norm for these cats? Literally will not, like, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work at all because cats are insane. Back to the thing, I guess.
No,
wait,
no
back to your thing.
Please go back to autism in dogs.
An autistic dog. It's like a dog, but it's got autism.
What does that mean?
So
quite a lot of diagnostic criteria of people would not map perfectly onto a dog.
Oh, I see where you're confused. All you need to do is just put all the diagnostic criteria on a set of buttons and the dog will press.
Oh.
Yeah, whichever one.
Very good. Very good.
So back to, wait, no, I cut you off. Why don't you go back to what you were saying? You were talking about what you think would happen when you raise a chimp alongside a little baby boy.
Well, I'm more or less finished, but basically, to recap, I basically think that some human-like traits that you wouldn't normally see in a chimp raised around chimps, but you would see in a baby human raised around humans, would translate across to the baby chimp, in part because we're quite similar anyway, and in part because even dogs behave like bunnies, so chimps are going to behave like people.
I don't know if I agree with the reasoning there, but your conclusion was right.
So if I had the exam and it said show your reasoning, show your workings, I'm not getting the grades. But
dogs,
if you don't
bunnies.
Have to show the working, I've got 100%. Thank you very much.
So back to this, I guess. So although the chimp was like progressing way faster than the boy initially. What?
Imagine being that boy now. Well, you're probably dead, actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's probably dead, right? Let's do the math here. Oh, no, that boy is definitely dead. he's long dead.
Yeah.
So no, I mean the chimp was progressing faster, but that makes sense though, because chimps only live.
Oh yes, because how old was the chimp in chimp years?
Look, before we came on, I specifically asked you not to ask a question that you know I won't know. I don't know chimp years.
Okay, so I mean, maybe there's 1.2 chimp years to a human year.
Okay, so chimps live from 32 to 39. Males live to 32 in captivity. Females live to 39.
There we go.
Yeah,
so about half. So about 2 years to a 1 year. A little bit less than half.
Exactly, yeah, sure.
But more than half.
And what is that in Luke years?
Ah, well... when the Earth came into existence in 1994, there was already a population of thousands of chimps. So I think the ratio is practically incalculable.
So for anyone that is confused by this, Luke seems to think that the universe began at the moment of his birth.
You can't prove that it didn't.
I can't, and that frustrates me. So we'll move on. So yeah, the chimp was progressing way faster than the kid, as would be expected, because chimps, you know, they grow up faster than kids. I mean, chimps hit puberty at around 4 years old, and kids hit puberty, I don't know, 12?
Later than that.
12, older than that? I don't know. I know more about chimps than I know about... Younger than that?
Younger than that in some people, yeah.
Look, I know about chimp puberty. I don't need to know about human puberty, okay? Been there, done that, it's fine. Chimp puberty, on the other hand, very interesting. So 4 years old, chimps go through puberty. So this little chimp was, I mean, already getting up, like maybe about over a quarter of the way towards puberty. So she was picking things up. She was understanding things better than the kid. She actually learned to respond to a bunch of different words and phrases, right? So, you know, a chimp obviously can't speak English, but what we're finding out here is, can a chimp understand English?
Still no.
They understand sounds and they know how to respond to that. So you would say, if you said kiss Donald, she'd understand kiss Donald, Donald being her brother. Yeah, again, bear in mind, this is a little baby boy who is seven months years old. That doesn't make sense. He's 7 months old and his parents have decided, we're going to bring in a chimp. This is literally the plot of Stuart Little. This is... sorry, I just realized. This is... The worst part about this is that I watched Stuart Little last night and did not make that connection. Which... By the way, I'm going to go off on another tangent here. Stuart Little is a very strange film, okay? I'm going to get on my soapbox and talk about that because has anyone seen Stuart Little? Cheer if we've seen Stuart Little. Okay, good. First off, it's based on books, right? In the Stuart Little books, Stuart Little is not a mouse. He is a little boy who looks like a mouse. Weird. So when they made the film, they adapted it. They decided, okay, he'll be an actual mouse and the parents will just adopt a mouse because that's less weird somehow. So they say to Jonathan Lipnicki, the son, and they say, hello, we're going to go pick you up a brother. And he's like, I want a little brother. And they take that seriously. They go to the orphanage. They see all these lovely children who are, you know, like without parents. They're playing. They're lovely. They're fun. And then they hear Marty McFly say, oh, yeah, Jennifer, she's really good at reading. But Billy, oh, he's good at football. And they look up and it's not Marty McFly. It's a mouse with the voice of Marty McFly. And he's just giving them all this information on all these kids in the orphanage. And they're like, huh, why don't we take this mouse home instead?
Hang on, is the mouse... I haven't seen Stuart Little in a while. Is the mouse like like living there as a mouse or is the mouse an orphan?
He's an orphan.
Okay. As many mice are, I'm sure.
Yeah. Right, but what doesn't make sense is that he's got like little books. He's reading Little Women. He's got like a whole outfit.
Yeah.
And he knows about all of the kids that live there. But inexplicably, he's still a child somehow. Like, it doesn't make any sense. He's both an adult and a child and a mouse at the same time. So they take the kid home. Why am I doing this?
Like my cat.
Yeah, like your cat.
My cat is called Mouse and and is a baby, but is also an adult cat.
Now, imagine if you had a baby already.
And has a collection of books and names all of the children and all the orphanages we visit.
I didn't know that mouse could do that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, to wrap this up, look, they take the mouse home, okay? And they introduce it to the son and he's like, that's a mouse. And they're all upset about Stuart Little's feelings because they didn't think to warn their son that we're not bringing home a human child, we're bringing home a mouse. And then the mouse gets eaten by their cat because they have a cat and they thought it'd be a good idea to adopt a mouse despite owning... Anyway,
this story... at the same time.
Jesus Christ, Luke.
Sorry, I'm just going to keep bringing it back to my cat called Mouse.
That story of Stuart Little is honestly... slightly more sane than the story of this chimp and this kid. So they brought the chimp home to raise with this child. They were like telling it to hug the kid and kiss the kid. They were bathing them together. Like, those would be really, really weird family photos to look back on, you know? Like, oh, this was my chimp sister. I don't know her anymore. She died a long time ago. Kind of weird. Let's move on. So, as I said, the chimp was progressing way faster than the little boy initially. And then she started to fall behind. But she was understanding more words than that little boy did. Which, again, this is so embarrassing for that kid. Like, I'm glad he's dead. Because if this episode came out and he was a hero, like... Well, no, not a bad way. He'd be 100 or something.
You can't label the dead, Corey.
Can you not?
No, can't label the dead.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say so much about Queen Elizabeth. You don't even know. No, so... what is happening in this episode, man? What's going on? So, they were raising them together. The monkey was doing a bit better than the little boy. They ran, like, a ton of tests. And, you know, they were kind of coming out equal towards the end. I mean, the boy started to progress, a little bit farther. And that's roughly when they decided they wanted to stop.
Hey, this chimp's smarter than my child. Let's get rid of it.
Wait, did I say the monkey was progressing farther?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I meant Donald the boy.
Okay.
Yeah, kids and chimps, they're very similar. I get confused. So that wasn't even a joke.
Imagine making that mix-up and you're the family. We're like, we're going to get rid of this chimp and you leave your human child behind by accident at the zoo.
And then he gets raised by
chimps. Reverse Tarzan.
Anyway, let's go back to the story. Why did they stop, Luke?
Why did they start?
Because they want to know about wild children. They want to raise a chimp as a child,
they
Luke.
They got enough data and they found the answer to the question they had. Or they realized this was stupid. Or the authorities got involved. Or they got bored.
None of the above, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think they realized how stupid it was at any point. No one got involved because it was the 30s. You could do basically whatever you wanted back then. The reason that they stopped is because, I mean, they didn't explicitly say, but we do have some ideas, right? So the first idea is that the chimp was starting to progress a little bit more slowly and, you know, basically grow up to be a chimp, right? Like, they're not usually very smart. And this chimp could do some human stuff, but she was like sort of plateauing, right? Whilst Donald was firing off. He was growing, like compared to a chimp, that little boy, he was so smart. He was a genius. So they thought probably best to stop. There's another reason as well. I mean, what do you know about chimps as they
get
up?
Very violent.
Yeah.
I assume if you like, can you castrate a chimp? Is it like cats? If you castrate a cat, it gets less violent.
Can you castrate a girl chimp?
You could take its womb out. I mean, it's what we do to cats. How are you throwing it? That's what you do to every cat.
What this room is responding to is really confusing. Yeah, I really don't know.
Really hard to predict, isn't it?
You know, I could say, cheer for chimp womb transplants, and they'll do it, right?
No, don't do it.
Cheer for chimp womb transplants.
Cheer for chimp womb transplants.
Yeah, it's not possible.
Why?
But, I don't know. Because they'll cheer
That's
for anything,
That's nothing to
right?
do with what you're just saying.
Well, you said you could want to take a uterus out of a chimp,
but you
right?
don't put it back in another chimp.
I didn't say you put it back in another chimp. You That's put it back in something.
What?
I don't know.
That's not what... Please move
anything
on.
Anything works in the 30s, Luke. Anything works in the 30s. Anyway, no. Where have we gone? So they basically the chimp was getting stronger. You're right. And it's... Look, I mean... Imagine a toddler that is about as strong as you.
Mm.
That's what they were going to be working with after a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. Like a toddler that can beat you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they might stop because of that. Another thing is also the fact that this one is quite funny, I think. Donald, you know, the little boy, the son. Now, whilst the chimp girl was becoming more human-like, Donald was becoming a little bit more chimp-like.
Great.
His language started to suffer, and he would start making chimp noises to
Great.
Communicate.
Perfect.
And I think the parents thought, okay, well, spinning our son until he cries, raising him alongside a little chimp girl, bathing him with a chimp, all of that is okay. But when that boy starts talking like a chimp, that's when we gotta cut this short. So
yeah, we never really paid attention to the other experiment that was happening, which is what happens if you raise a human child around a chimp.
Yeah, do you know what? I just realized that they thought it would be bad to put a kid and let chimps raise the child.
Yeah.
But they also thought it's fine to just treat a child as though, like, you know, they're on equal footing as a chimp.
Yeah.
So they end up getting rid of her and giving her back to, I think, a sanctuary. I'm not going to say what happened after that because it never ends well for the animals in these stories. I thought there was going to be like an awe there. Aww. This is great. Give me a bigger awe. Aww.
Too much.
Now give me an awe, but like you're confused.
Oh, that gave me shivers. I didn't like that.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
Hark, the ad bell, he does sing.
He sings for Patreon, I think. If you head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys, you can get a whole host of cool things. What can they get, Luke?
Oh, blooming heck. They can get so many things. There's bonus episodes. You can request topics for episodes. There's an entire other show called After Dark where we discuss sort of philosophical things and just general discussion, the kind of stuff that you imagine we talk about after we've finished recording. Well, that is when we do it, so that is what we do. And lots of other stuff. What else is there?
You get your name at the end of every single SciGuys episode. You can also vote on topics. You get to choose what we do. And at the end of the episode that's voted on by our patrons, if it's your first month being a patron, you get thanked by name. By us, the SciGuys. Isn't that fun?
That is really fun. I'll use my vocal cords to say your name with a 50% probability because Corey says half of them.
That's very true. So head to our Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So they ended up getting rid of this little chimp baby, and they decided, okay, we're gonna send it back to live with this chimp family, a long and happy life for a few years, and then we're gonna write a book about this. So he wrote a book. He published it in 1932. It was The Ape and the Child Experiment. It's the one that I mentioned earlier. See how we're tying back in? Look at that. I thought ahead. Thank you. Yeah. No, just one person clapping. Okay. Thank you. Great. So. I have another question for you, Luke. That's the entire experiment, by the way. Literally, they just raised a kid with a chimp and, like, you know, for 12 hours a day, they were writing notes, they were filming videos. Basically kind of like what family vloggers do now, except they had a chimp and it was slightly more ethical. Got him! So, basically it didn't work, and they didn't really know why. They thought, okay, sure, you can nurture a chimp into being as smart as a human. Turns out you can't do that. But why, Luke? Why can't chimps be as smart as people's?
Because they're dumb.
Wow, Luke, that's pretty chimpophobic of you.
Is that the answer?
Yeah. So chimps have got brains like a lot of different animals, and their brains... Don't laugh. This is not... Look, they've got brains, and they're kind of like our brains, but also not like our brains, right? That makes sense. So chimps have got like quite big brains compared to other animals, compared to their body. You know, their body-to-brain ratio is a good one.
Strong.
Yes.
Powerful ratio.
So basically, the chimps are smarter than a lot of other animals. They work with tools, they communicate, they learn to like pick each other's hair and stuff. They can learn to not speak English, but understand, you know, some words and whatnot. Or not understand them, but
recognize,
respond to them. Recognize sounds. Yeah. Which is a tough thing
as
to do.
As can dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not a high bar.
Maybe dogs are quite a high bar. You don't know, man. Okay. Dogs are smarter than most other animals.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. That's a lie. Anyway... Usually I can just say stuff and cut it out, but I'm remembering that there are a whole bunch of you here who are just gonna like
hold him accountable.
Yeah, hold me accountable
to his lies.
So their brains are quite similar to our brains. You know, they're not too dissimilar, but obviously our brain is a lot better than a chimp brain in terms of, I mean, if you're looking at sort of talking and committing war crimes and stuff like that that humans do. But when it comes to like, I don't know, opening bananas, what do chimps do?
Roll around, climb stuff.
Yeah.
There's that whole section of I don't know if it's chimps. There's some sorry to take you back to weird sex stuff, but there's there is some kind of ape or some kind of like what's that kind of family called? The kind of monkey chimp, that whole thing.
I'm not going to make the joke I want to make. Simians, primates.
Yeah. That sort of thing, where they just like have sex to fix all problems.
Well, you're talking about bonobos.
Yeah, bonobos. They just like, oh, they fall out. Quick bit of sex. Yeah. Oh, they want to have sex. Quick bit of sex. They're hungry. Probably a quick bit of sex.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. They do a lot of fellatio.
Yeah.
Like a ton of it. And cunnilingus. They don't do analingus. That's the one thing that they avoid. That's eating ass, by the way.
What? Oh, okay.
I hope there aren't any children here. I didn't check. Actually, I hope there aren't any parents here. That's even worse, I think. Back to chimps. Their brains are not as good at ours as learning or talking. Let me do that one again.
You mixed up your as and your ats there.
Thank you. Chimps' brains aren't as good at our brains at talking and other things. And there is a reason for this. So if we look at... What?
You did it again.
Thank you. I don't care. Well, I can say whatever I want and they'll cheer, right?
Hey, stop feeding him.
Would have been a really funny time for them to not cheer.
It would be.
So they've got brain squigglies. You know your brain folds?
Yeah.
Do you know what those are called?
Brain folds.
Sulky.
Sulky?
Sulky.
Oh.
S-U-L-C-I. Sulky. So they've got little sulky on their brains, as do we. Their brain folds, right? And scientists were basically looking at these. They were doing MRIs. They were looking at genetics at the same time. Essentially, the idea was to try and figure out if genetics played a role in intelligence when it came to chimps and when it came to humans, right?
Bringing it back to eugenics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always comes back to eugenics, though.
Or capitalism.
Capitalism loves eugenics as well, though, doesn't it? Anyway, so they were looking at the chimps' brains. They were doing little MRIs. They also had like the entire sort of family tree of the chimps as well. So they knew the genetics of the chimps. So they were looking at all that all together. And essentially, what they found is that chimps' brains kind of suck compared to ours. Yeah, you can laugh. That's okay. They're chimps.
They can't hear you. Nor can they understand, idiots.
So basically, the idea is, to put it incredibly simply for a chimp to understand, is...
For the listeners, Corey gestured at me as he said that.
You can do it back to me.
No.
Cheering racism now. Woo! Too many people clapped. The big thing is that, babies come out really dumb. Human babies come out really dumb, but then they get smarter as they grow up, right? Chimps get, they do more of their brain sort of development in the womb, which means that, they are less plastic than we are, in that they can adapt to less situations, which means, they're not able to get as good at things as we are. Whereas a little human baby, that brain is not fully formed. I mean, it's not until you're 25, I think, is your brain, properly done, growing up. And that means that humans can do a lot of different things, talking and interacting with each other in that sort of way and using better tools, all the stuff that humans do.
And presumably that means that it goes some way to explain why we have been able to sort of almost overcome our genes in a way that many other animals haven't, where they're pretty programmed from birth. They pretty much do the same thing over and over again, whereas we have societies and computers and all these weird things that we aren't programmed for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm glad you brought that up because that's what they found out, that genetics and intelligence in humans, it's not, you can't look at them as being too congruent. If you've got a really dumb parent or two really dumb parents even, that doesn't mean that you're going to be a really dumb person.
Yeah, because there's loads of stuff involved in that.
Exactly.
Vitamin levels in early childhood and all sorts of stuff.
And that means that genetics don't play a huge role in human intelligence. So eugenics, dumb and bad. If you didn't know that, eugenics is bad. We've proven it. It's done science. Don't do any eugenics. I'm looking at you up the back there.
It's one of those things that sounds like it's very... what's the word?
Be very careful about how you say this next sentence.
What I'm trying to say is that it's one of these things that sounds... It's like pseudoscience where it sounds very alluring because it sounds like... it sounds like a way of making fixing societal issues that people face, right? That's the allure of it. But that's the point, is that
for fascists, yeah.
That's the point, is it?
Yeah,
sounds like Corey's trying to make me into a Nazi, but it sounds like it makes sense. But then if you actually follow it through, or even if you just follow through the logic, it just doesn't play out how it sounds like it would play out.
This is the thing. It doesn't work on a lot of levels. Like, even if you were to go ahead and do it, just the way that human genetics work, it just you would just make... If you want to make a stronger population by not letting the weak breed... God, I feel horrible saying that. You're not going to make a stronger population because that's just not how human genetics work. You end up with, like, not necessarily inbreeding, but kind of close to that, right? So genetics doesn't play a huge sort of role in human intelligence, but it does kind of for chimps. And there is a sort of barrier that chimps hit. Like, they can learn and be as smart as a human kid up to a certain point, and then the kid develops faster than the chimp can because the chimp's already done a lot of brain development and there's kind of a hard limit. Its brain isn't sort of, you know, wired in the same way as a human's brain. But what about talking, right? So, like, why can't chimps talk?
Well, they can talk chimp language. Like, they can talk in their little... Like, because chimps have, like, noises that are like, oh no, get up the tree and stuff, don't they? They do. So they can talk in that sense, but like the actual like adapted language, do we have a center in our brain to do with language? Do they not have
I don't
that?
Think we do have a center in our brain to do with language. Well, yeah, no, I'm we got wrong. A comment. We got a comment correcting you on that the other day. Mm-hmm. They were very kind. It was very sweet. When it comes to language, yeah, you're right. It is to do with like the brains. Basically, humans spent a really long time, like a very long time, training the vocal cords to do mouth noises, to do like good talking sounds. And that meant that we could then also, I think we also started writing stuff down and we started using language more sort of cooperatively, like, you know, back and forth. And the key difference between sort of language and what chimps do is that we have grammar.
Yeah.
That's like one of the biggest differences. Like, you can change what things mean by just slightly altering the sound and it adding different sounds together. They need to be in the right order and stuff. Kind of like how I'm butchering the English language right now. And you're all noticing that. That means that we're all speaking language. I'm just doing a very bad job of it. Chimps, it doesn't matter. You make an and...
you're all up the tree.
Yeah, they all know what you mean. But that's why chimps can't talk. But interestingly, right, like chimps actually have the same... Well, not the same, but their vocal cords can make human noises. Right? Well, not human noises.
All
they
human
can speak
noises?
English. No, they can speak English is what I mean. Okay. They would be able to speak English. I've actually got a little audio clip. I mean, I might
of
play this
for them.
Of a chimp
speaking English?
No. So what scientists did, and I didn't want to look into this, but I was engrossed in it. Essentially, they did a bunch of x-rays of chimp necks and vocal cords and stuff, and then they built a digital chimp, I guess, throat, and then made it make noises, like speak English. So, I mean, I'll just see if I could play it through the speakers.
Yeah,
right now.
Please.
I don't know if I can. I'll just play it through the mic. How about that? Jesus. Okay. Why don't we listen to a chimp speaking English? Oh, I really hope I can find it, because if I can't, this is going to be so awkward, isn't it? Oh my God, guys. I can't find it. This is just like Luke's NDA, except not nearly as bad as that. That was much worse, and I think we can all agree. Oh my God, have I actually lost it? Just imagine what a chimp speaking English would be like. Or, better yet, come back and listen to this. When it's out,
yeah,
and you'll hear it.
Will you marry me? Will you marry me?
Wow, that was really disappointing.
And now you know how it feels to be everyone else listening to you not tell your NDA story. Come on.
I thought you meant in general.
I'm going to say that with everyone else here listening.
The funny thing about the NDA story, by the way, is that I actually already made that mistake. I put this thing I can't talk about on my Instagram story, and then I had to quickly delete it and go, oh my God, no.
You're not very good with NDAs, are you?
Not my NDAs. I'm good with my NDAs.
Look, chimps could speak English if their brains were good enough to do it. And look, I mean, Darwin thought that, a lot of other scientists thought that. And basically, I guess the culmination of this is, I'm scrolling to try and find my conclusion. Basically, the culmination of this is that... The culmination of this is that chimps can't be as smart as people because their brains just aren't capable of it. Because we went through so many years of evolution and all of that other nonsense, you know, to be better at, I guess, being adaptive to our environments.
Yeah.
Which is why we've been so good at, you know, all of the things that we've done. You know, we've created societies, we built buildings, we have podcasts, right? A little round of applause for podcasts, I think. I'm loving this. This is great. So yeah, no, I mean, look, that's basically the conclusion there. I don't have a joke to end it, but that is the story of the ape and the child experiment, and that's why chimps Can't be as smart as people.
Is that the title of the episode?
That's the whole title, yeah.
Great.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. But we've got time for one more little thing. It's okay. A surprise that I was going to tell, I didn't tell you about.
Oh, God.
It's a quick fire quiz.
Is it really?
It is, yeah.
That's not a surprise.
Oh, it is a surprise, Luke.
Why?
Because we're going to bring up someone from the audience to quick fire quiz against you.
Oh, ooh. Dear.
So, who wants to... Why am I doing
you have to nominate.
Who okay. wants to come up?
On three, everyone stand and point at one person. We'll count all the points.
Maybe it would be easier for people to put their hands up and then you could pick someone.
Okay, I'll pick who looks dumbest.
Or just pick some, why don't you just pick anyone from the crowd and maybe don't comment on that. Just pick someone.
Okay, put your hands, stand up for me actually, that would be more helpful. Okay, we have three people standing. God, I can't now pick someone, now I've said I'll pick the dumbest.
Just close your eyes and point.
Pick a number between 1 and 3.
You're closest to the stage. Would you like to come up?
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. You can get them to clap if you want. Just pick something.
Clap!
That was the biggest one of the night.
I do want to just say, Luke, I have done just the psychology module in language and communication in uni. So...
I've also just had all of the questions and answers pointed right at you.
We did do a lot on about like chimps and like how they learn with children and stuff. There's the Washu word experiment and stuff like that when they got the chimp to press the buttons and stuff, which is quite interesting. Our lecturers told us that chimps will never be as clever, but they do have their own intelligence, and the fact that they can't communicate doesn't necessarily mean that they can't have their own forms of communication just because they can't understand syntax and stuff.
So. That's really sweet. That's nice. Like, be nice to the chimps. Give the chimps a win, I think. Also, we've not asked you your name. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Natalia.
You're a patron, aren't you?
I am, and I'm the one that submitted the very horrendous meme.
Oh.
The what meme?
The one about you. And saying that you, Corey does the research, John does the editing, and Luke...
Yeah, now Corey does the research and the editing.
I mean, hey, look, I would take that as an insult if it weren't for the fact that there was a very, very viral tweet that said, "Oh, to be the person on a science podcast that turns up when somebody else has done all the research and you just have to sit there and react to it." And I was like, I'm living like hundreds of thousands of people's dreams, so I'll take it.
Okay, so the rules for the quickfire quiz are the same as always. I will ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after I finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
A little baby chimp to take home.
Don't think I want that.
Well, I'll win then.
You could have a Sci Guys enamel pin badge instead from up the back at our merch table there. That would be a much
better. That's a lot of pressure.
Okay, so first off, we need to choose our buzzers. Luke, what is your buzzer?
Oh!
Natalia, what is your buzzer?
Good buzzer. You now need to recreate that sound.
Anyway, you should probably do the quiz, right?
Yeah, go on.
How long do chimps live? I feel like given that you are a chimp and clearly cannot speak, I'm going to move on to our only other contestant.
Thank you.
How long do chimps live?
Is it 39 years?
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct.
Thank you.
Well done. Fantastic. Bloody great job.
Thank you very much. My professors should be proud of me. Please give me a first.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that is all from us, I think, Luke. But thank you all for being here. Thank you all for watching or listening. And a massive extra special thank you to our patrons, Denito and Glitch Rabbit. Thank you, everyone, I guess. What are you shaking your head for?
Luke, come on, man. Let me do this.
Look, Side Guys is done, okay? Goodbye.
We
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.